Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
An incredible morning. How great was the worship? So amazing. Thank you, guys. Let's give them a hand. We're so grateful. Such an honor. So we are launching these, remain standing. We're going to launch the Vision Builders campaign, the That Church campaign. Remember last year when we did Vision Builders, That Church, we went through like we were salt and light and we were, I get this wrong, tryhards, not diehards. I said it wrong the other day. And I was like, diehards, we're all tryhards. No, it was the other way around. But we are just claiming things that we want this church to be, declaring what we want this church to be. And that's what Vision Builders is all about. Anyone excited about Friday night? I tried my outfit on. I was like, oh my gosh, that looks really bad. I need to buy another one, but that's okay. Put on some weight. That's all good. Pre-try on your outfits, ladies, so that you don't have the Friday night rush where you're like, that fit last year. But we've got this beautiful moment. Can I say what I love about Vision Builders dinner? I love the fact that I get the opportunity to go around to 7 locations and see all the beautiful people. And it's the opportunity for you guys at Oxford Falls to see the incredible people at Silverwater. You're meeting your brothers and sisters in our locations. You'll get to see the Parramatta crew. And I love the fact that it's all our tribes coming together in one beautiful Christmas dinner almost. It's that beautiful moment. So we want to celebrate Vision Builders, but we're talking this morning about peacemakers. And I genuinely tried to get through it at 8:30 without crying, but you know me by now, that's not going to happen. Blessed are the peacemakers, Matthew 5:9, for they are the children of God. I'm going to talk about peacemakers this morning, the activation of peace in your life so that you can bring peace into relationships, situations. But first and foremost, it's got to be in you. Has anyone had that moment where you have walked into a situation and a conversation and you've blown it up more than brought peace? And then you went home and said, Lord, they didn't hear me. And he said, that was you. That was so you. You did not go into that situation with the right spirit, the right heart. Anyone had that conversation? So we're going to talk this morning about what it is to be peacemakers. Just raise your hands this morning, close your eyes. We're just going to ask the Holy Spirit. Because I know this morning that some of this conversation is going to be salve to a wound. And I'm going to maybe prod you to do something that may be hard. And I do not want you to do that in your own strength. I want you to do that knowing that the power of the Holy Spirit, the Prince of Peace himself, is with you in your family relationships. Father, we just bring all our relationships to you, our circumstances, our neighbours, everything, Lord. And we ask right now, Holy Spirit, you would bring peace. Peace over our finances. Peace that we don't avoid looking at the bills, but we look at them empowered with the peace of God. We thank you for your beautiful presence and peace in this place. In Jesus' name, and we all said, amen. Have a seat, guys. Okay, open up your Bibles to Matthew 5:9. I'm going to get there. It's a little bit teacherish this morning. You okay? What I really want to do is I got really convicted. I think Pastor Al does these campaigns and makes me preach more for me than for you. I was going through this campaign and I realized the value of being a peacemaker and having peace in our heart. And then I was thinking about certain relationships in my family. Oh, I didn't get through this in 8:30 either. And I realized that I was avoiding conversations because I was thinking that that was bringing peace. When people came to talk to me about certain things, I'd say, oh, no, I'm not talking about that. Thinking I was bringing peace. Oh, no, I don't want to engage in that conversation. Thinking that I'm bringing the right situation and what I'm actually doing is being a peacekeeper, not a peacemaker. How do I bring the right conversation? How do I talk to my family about certain things? How do I bring conversations in my workplace and with my neighbours? How do I do that well so that I don't bring turmoil, but I bring peace? We want to be a church when people come, when you talk to them and say, hey, we're from C3 SYD, we are known as peacemakers. We are known as people that when you come, you bring a salve to an ointment. You bring a salve to a wound, not poke it until it goes on fire and they're grateful that you've left. I don't know about you, but some Christians during COVID became a very annoying voice. Anyone else? I was like, why? What's that sound of judgment and condemnation and panic and strife when the church should be a place of peace? A place of peace. So we're going to talk about that this morning. Let me talk about peace. If you're taking notes this morning, I do recommend you take notes this morning. Kerry actually said to me, I actually took notes in your sermon this morning after how many years that she's heard me preach. That's really good. Peace, I'm going to talk about the scriptures that base our peace in. Because I can tell you to have peace, but if they're not based in the Word of God, it's going to be a sinking sand. Okay, so I'm going to go through that. Peace is something that the Old Testament actually talks about, meaning wholeness, total health, and total welfare. I'm going to ask you this morning, are you remaining activated in the peace of God? Do you activate the peace of God every morning? Because you know the Father of peace. You have the Prince of Peace in your life. When the cross, Jesus died on the cross, he didn't stay in heaven, you know, and say, oh, you know what, I'm good with peace. Let's leave them to their own resources down there and sort it out. No, he was activated. He didn't avoid it. He was activated to literally come down to earth to reconcile us to the Father. And I'm going to let Mitch Hammond in 2 weeks' time preach that message, and I'll leave it there, Mitch. How good is it? Give Mitch a hand. 2 weeks' time, he's going to do the reconciliation of the Father. I love you, Mitch Hammond. I love the prophetic gift on your life. I love what you bring to this house. You are so valued. And that prophetic gift is just going to rise and rise and rise and rise. And I see you just speaking into nations and speaking across things. So we love you with all our heart, and that's just for you. Okay, there you go. But the reconciliation of the cross gave us peace with God. Do not take that for granted. That peace with God. There are people out there that don't have peace with their Creator. And remember that feeling that no one was above you. No one was taking care of you. You were on your own on this earth because you didn't have peace with the Creator. That's a scary feeling. And I know, you know, the sovereignty of God and submission is a swear word today, but the sovereignty of God and submission actually allows us to have safety and peace. How good is that? That safety and peace with God. And we can't take that for granted, but that's not just for you. It's for you, so it's in you, so it goes through you to others. And we're going to talk about the through you moment. I decided to Google search how to get inner peace. Don't do this. It was ridiculous. Before I went to the Bible, I went to Google. It was the wrong way around. Let me tell you. Because what I was thinking about was peace is not found in the absence of conflict on the outside. It's found in the absence of conflict on the inside. So I'm thinking peace is not found in all my circumstances being controlled. Peace is not found in avoiding everything. Peace is found on having inner peace no matter what the circumstances tell me. So I looked at and Google searched. This is the world's answer to peace. Are you ready? Strategy number one, avoid all food that stimulate you. No sugar, no caffeine, God forbid. There's a list. Avoid all food that overstimulate you. Okay, number two, I was like, well, that's pretty depressing. Avoid all people that make you anxious. I'm like, well, the family's gone. Okay, I don't know who else I'm going to talk to. Basically, just talk to yourself. Wait for it. Number three, stay away from newscasts, arguments, paying bills, and anything else that causes you stress. So you've got to avoid food, people, and anything that... So no paying bills. Imagine that. Oh, I didn't pay my bills because the website said I need peace. It's not... Get rid of your kids, your family. That's the only way you're going to have peace. No. Peace comes in the midst of what we have in the world. Why? Because we have the Prince of Peace. We have the Prince of Peace that determines... what's going to happen. When I walk into a conversation, I'm not joining the conversation and causing the world to negate my peace. Does you know what I'm saying? I heard people during COVID and they're like, hear this little worry conversation, and then Christians come in, and, oh, you're right. And then I go away with anxiety. We are caused to bring the Prince of Peace into every situation. And that means reversing what's happening. That means bringing peace when there's anxiety. So we're going to have a chat about that. Can I give you some scriptures? Because I really want to base everything on the biblical principles of peace. Because obviously the world isn't doing very well. Let's have a look at what the Bible says. The reconciliation of Christ on the cross gave us some incredible things. And again, as Christians, we've got to remember that we don't avoid circumstances to get peace. We activate. We need to activate the peace of God. Hebrews 12:14 NLT. If you're taking notes, I've actually got all these scriptures in my phone. And to be honest, I went to Vivid the other night and I needed all the peace scriptures. Has anyone been to Vivid? It was like my anxiety was through the roof and I've got this person and then I had a pram in my leg and I'm like, and I started speaking in tongues. My sister said, what are you doing? And I'm like, trying to maintain my peace. This is just crazy. The world doesn't want you to remain in peace because they want you to have conversations that'll join in their confusion. But we don't do that. So Hebrews 12:14 says, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. This is quite incredible. Stop and look at this. Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. So the amount of time you're working at living a holy life, you've actually got to work at living in peace with everyone. Can you see that? It's a beautiful balance. 1 Peter 3:10-11. For the scripture says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Can you see how there's an intentional action of turning away? Search for peace and work to maintain it. Peace in this world is not something that you're just going to have to let go. You're going to have to search for and work to maintain it. Psalm 34:14, turn from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. I love this. It's kind of something that when you're in the midst of a situation, you have this beautiful peace. Let's get some more scriptural basis. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. This is the first and foremost. If you haven't got peace with God, what does that mean? You haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is the door to everything else I'm telling you today. If you haven't gone through that door and accepted the Prince of Peace, then the peace that we are talking about is not something that you will have. You need the Prince of Peace to have that in your life. And if you haven't accepted him as your Lord and Savior, we're going to have a chat about that at the end and give you that opportunity. Can I say, if you've come here with turmoil, the first and foremost and the greatest thing you can do in your life is accept the Prince of Peace. Don't you love being a Christian? Let's give him a hand. I love that moment when I'm at a family gathering and everybody's arguing in the crazy. You should come to my family. I know I give them, they're gorgeous. They're so beautiful. And it's crazy and it's manic and it's out of control. But I know that God has put me in that place to be the Prince of the Peace, to have that Prince of Peace in my life so I can bring peace into that situation. Okay, more scriptures. We have peace with God. Can you see how that's, what tense is that? It's not past, it's not future. We have it. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Again, remain in it. In this world you will have trouble. Can you see that? So he's basically not saying, I'm going to pull you out of the world. He actually says, you're going to have trouble, so you're going to need my peace. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus himself knew that the world was going to be trouble. And we're going to have trouble in this world. If you're waiting to not have trouble, to have peace, you're going to have to die for that. Sorry. That's going to be at the other end when you're in heaven and you can have eternal peace. You cannot wait for all the circumstances around you, for the trouble to be gone, to activate the peace of God. I rang my sister the other day, and I'm going to talk about some more scriptures. She has emergency foster care children, a two-year-old and a three-year-old. And she's had them for 6 months and her house is manic. They have no inside voice. There's no such thing as an inside voice. So it's like, I need a drink. It's like quite crazy. And I rang her the other day and there was a different sound coming through the phone. She hadn't got rid of the kids. It's okay. And I said, are you okay? And she said, you know what I did this morning, Katie? I realized that peace doesn't come with peace and no children. She said, I realized peace came from within me first and then outside. And I said, what did you do? And she said, I actually let the girls have a playtime. And she said, and I sat down and I read my word. And she said, and I spoke to the Holy Spirit. And she said, it was only 5 minutes. It was like, you know, and the chaos was coming, swirling around me. But I got peace on the inside so that I can cope with the outside. And I said to her, how are you feeling? And I said, I can hear it in your voice how calm you are. And she said, yeah, I'll see how I go tomorrow. But she said, I'm going to start my days with just getting that anchor of peace, no matter what my bills are saying, no matter what's happening, so that I can be a peacemaker in circumstances. All right, Philippians 4:7. And the peace, some of you need to stand on these scriptures, can I say? Some of you need to get the word of God and stand on them. In the morning, the first thing you read is Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. The two portals of anxiety will be guarded by peace. Your heart and your mind. I speak this over myself every day. You know, I battle a little bit with anxiety, so these scriptures are my key scriptures that I go to. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace when? At all times and in every way. You can actually say, I will have peace at all times and in every way. All right, let's jump into peacemakers, not peacekeepers. Matthew 5:9. This is the key scripture. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is the Beatitudes. So the way of remembering these attitudes is they are the attitudes to be. The Beatitudes, okay? They're not a collection of sayings. They're not something that you reiterate. You are actually to change your character in line with these, okay? So when we go through these, it's this beautiful understanding where he says peacemakers. Let me read this to you. Peacekeepers avoid anything to protect their sense of peace. Are you a peacekeeper this morning? Yes, I am, Katie Haldane says. Do you avoid conversations? Do you avoid certain neighbors? Do you avoid situations so that you can maintain your sense of peace? Now, I'm not saying we're going to talk about right conversations, but do you have an artificial form of peace that you avoid everything around you rather than activating the peace of God and stepping into those situations empowered? Are you keeping the peace or are you making it? When you walk into circumstances, are you just saying, yes, 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 that's okay just to keep the peace? Or are you actually walking in with the peace of God and making that situation turn to come under the submission of the Prince of Peace? Are you having conversations that actually activate the peace of God? Or are you having conversations to avoid, 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 avoid? A peacekeeper avoids, a peacemaker is proactive. I love this. Pastor Al said this, peacekeeping, we mean a posture that is passive, a posture that is not willing to sacrifice personal comfort in order to bring the greater good, greater benefit, and ultimately being great, greater peace to others. Our church is not a church that will avoid situations so that we can keep peace in here. We will activate the peace of God and go out and help. And that means when we're talking to our neighbors and they say, oh my gosh, I can't mow the lawn. Hopefully they're not talking to me because I can't mow the lawn either. But if you could mow the lawn, you could jump in and do something practical that could genuinely bring peace to somebody. When somebody says, hey, I can't feed my kids today because of the mortgage rate, you could think, how can I be a peacemaker in this circumstance? How can I actually help in this circumstance? That's the sort of church we want to be. Do you want to be that church? I so want to be that. I can't wait. It's not the peace by avoidance. It's peace by confronting the problem and bringing reconciliation. That's really good, isn't it? Okay, really quickly, guys. How do we become peacemakers? Because I've been looking at this and going, yep, I really want to be that. But how do I, practically? When you look at the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:9 is at the base. And I read this in a commentary. If you're reading your Bible and you want to know more, just jump, open a commentary. And the commentary said this, you can't go to Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, without building on the foundation of the principles prior. Okay? So let's have a look at the principles prior, Matthew 5:1-10. I'll start with verse 2. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we are peacemakers, we walk into situations humble. That's what poor in spirit means. We don't walk in arrogant, like, I have arrived. We don't walk in judgmental, like, I'm going to tell you what you need. We walk in humble. And I'm going to show you how Jesus did this. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This word mourn is an understanding of the people suffering for Christ. When you walk into a circumstance and you need to bring peace, you need to remember how he, the Prince of Peace, led you through your suffering. You need to remember how kind he was to you. Anyone else? how gentle he was to you when you were going through something. I think sometimes as Christians, we go in and say, come on, what are you doing? When we forget how beautiful he was when we were going through something. And that's what this scripture is saying. Blessed are those who mourn, for they understand what it is and what they need in that time. Blessed are the meek. This means reliant on God. When you go into that conversation with your family, when you go into that situation with your neighbor, when we are a church of peacemakers, we are reliant on God. I love this, for they will inherit the earth. Can you see how it's building attributes? So by the time you're a peacemaker, you've got this under control. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Righteousness is the goal of all conversations. What does that mean? Right standing with God. Somebody said to me once, Katie, I don't ever hear you arguing the Bible much. And I was like, what do you mean? And they said, you know a lot about the Bible. You're doing your doctorate. You know this, you knew that. But I don't hear you coming in and arguing it a lot. Is it that you don't have much to say or you don't know? And I was like, oh, I know. And I'm a prosecutor at heart. And I have an awful lot to say. You wait. When I'm like, don't say. But the Holy Spirit's voice inside of me is saying, will this bring peace, Katie Haldane? Or will this make you look good? Will this actually bring this person closer to Jesus? Or will this confuse this person and make it hard? Now, I'm not saying don't negate truth. When God says to me, go, Katie, I'm like, right, the scriptures are in there. But every motivation of my heart is to be meek, humble, and want to help that person towards Christ, not run away from him. Can you see the attributes of conversation that we really want to have as a church? I can hear some people and they're like, that was a great argument, but that you annihilated that person and that person is no longer wanting to have anything to do with Christ. Let's not be that. I'm talking to myself. Blessed are them, especially when I talk about Revelation. I'm like, all right, here we go. And then I'm like, is this going to draw them closer to Jesus? No, it's not. Okay, thank you. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. That's how we enter conversation. I'm going to show you how Jesus did this. Blessed are the pure in spirit, for they will see God. Can you hear that? And now, blessed are the peacemakers. These beautiful traits that we're actually going to do a series next year on the Beatitudes. And we're going to go, how cool is this, week by week? Because I was studying it. I was like, we need to know this. Okay, two practical examples that Jesus shared in the Gospels. I want you to open up your Bibles to Luke 10. Because we can know what to have, what traits to have. I can give you all the scriptures. But the Gospels really show us how Jesus navigated life. That is the reason the Son of God came down to live on the earth. So he can be an example of how to navigate life. So if you are struggling to navigate relationships or whatever that looks like, read how Jesus did it. How did he navigate his family and all of that sort of stuff? I love this, Luke 10. We're going to talk about the story of the Good Samaritan. The difference between avoiding and activating. Luke 10:30. And I am going to read it in the Message. Jesus answered by telling a story. There was once a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. Again, when I taught this last time, Jerusalem to Jericho, the road from Jerusalem to Jericho is very dangerous. So you're not shocked by the next statement, okay? On the way, he was attacked by robbers. They were like, yeah, of course he was, because he's on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. They took his clothes, beat him up, went off leaving him half dead. A priest was on his way down the same road, but when he saw him, he angled across to the other side. He chose his own peace over the peace of another person. Can you see it? He went, you know what? I'm going to choose my own peace and not get involved in this. Then a Levite, a religious man, showed up. He also avoided the injured man. He chose to avoid the situation. That's not what we are, church. We are a church that's activated to bring the peace of God. A Samaritan traveling the road came on him. When he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. He gave him first aid, disinfecting and bandaging his wounds. He lifted him onto his donkey, led him to an inn and made him comfortable. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper saying, take good care of him. If it costs any more, put it on my bill. I'll pay you back on my way. I love this gentleman who was a Samaritan. One, had to overcome his own generational hatred to even be near this person. He's looking at the Levite and the priest and they do nothing. They avoid it, but he was activated. He was the only person. These guys over here, this Levite and this religious man, if they were Christians today, they were the only person that could have brought the Prince of Peace and Christ's peace to that situation, but they chose not to. They chose to avoid. That's a scary thing, right? When you walk into situations, you've got to remember that it's not just you walking into the situation, it's Christ in you walking into that situation. And he's not wanting to avoid it. Anyone had the Holy Spirit go and do that? And I'm like, no, go and do that. And it's like, he wants to go there, but I don't. But there's got to be a sense in me that I go, you know what, Holy Spirit, I will actually go in and step into that situation because I'm empowered by the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is peace. I love that. Secondly, guys, to finish up, John 4. I'm going to read 1-9. We're just going to skip through this. This is the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. And what we do is we actually jump into that story first. I'm going to go backwards because there's two conversations that Jesus has in this moment. One, overhear a conversation that was unhelpful that he actually walks away from. Two, a conversation which would have been very contentious. And this is a very PG version. The Bible makes it very PG. It would have been a very contentious conversation. He actually enters into that conversation. Let's have a look at the one he avoids and the one he enters. Jesus realized, 4:1, that the Pharisees, again, I'm reading in the message, the Pharisees were keeping count of the baptisms. I love this. The Pharisees are causing competition. Let me read it again. Jesus realized that the Pharisees were keeping count of the baptism that he and John performed, although his disciples, not Jesus, did the actual baptizing. They had posted the score that Jesus was ahead, turning him and John into rivals in the eyes of the people. Can I say, church, when competition comes in the body of Christ, walk away from those conversations. They're the conversations that I would say, yes, no, C3SYD people, we don't get involved in that. What's happening here is the Pharisees are getting Jesus and John to compete over baptizing people. Both, it's crazy. So what does Jesus do? Here's what's happening, and listen to this. So Jesus left the countryside. He literally looks at it and says, is this going to be a peacemaking situation? No, it's not. This is going to be competitive and it's going to cause harm. I'm out. How beautiful is that? Some of our conversations, we need to listen to what's happening behind the scenes and go, no, this is a strategy of Satan. I'm out. I'm not even getting involved. But he walks into a conversation that was good. He says, to get there, he had to pass through Samaria. He came into Sychar, a Samaritan village that bordered the field Jacob had given. Jacob's well was still there. Jesus, worn out by the trip, sat down at the well. A woman. Shock, horror. And not only that, the next adjective makes her even worse. A Samaritan came to draw water. Jesus said, would you give me a drink of water? Jump down to 9. The Samaritan woman, taken aback, asked, how come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? This is a very PG version of what she would have said. She would have said, 1, you're a male and you're talking to me. How dare you? 2, you're asking me to drink. So therefore the vessel that I'm actually giving it to you in is going to be defiled. And Jesus walks into this conversation knowing full well that he needs to bring reconciliation and peace. He avoids one that's going to cause harm and he enters one that brings peace. We want to be that church. We want to be that church that doesn't shy away and avoid the Samaritan woman because we don't know what to say to her. We want to walk into that situation and be like this and have the hard conversation. Study this when you get home. It's a hard conversation that they have. Christ reveals her sin and says, you've got too many husbands. And then she bounces back and then he bounces back. It's a hard conversation, but it's a conversation that brought reconciliation between her and her God, which is so incredible. Stand to your feet, guys. We want to be peacemakers. Do you feel full of scripture? It's like, oh, overwhelmed. But this is what the church is. We want to be people that in some conversations we will say, hey, no, excuse me. People know that about me. I'm quite rude. If you're talking about another church, sorry. Or negating or talking about someone else in the kingdom, you'll see me walk away. Because the thing about the body of Christ is that we are unified. That we fight for one another, not against one another. That we are peacemakers in that situation where you say, hey, you know, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to walk away. But what I am going to get engaged is in conversations and situations where I can bring peace. Just raise your hands, church. God's doing something here. Maybe I've challenged something. Peace first in you, then through you. Peace first in you, then through you. This morning, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would bring fresh peace upon our congregation so that we can be ministers of reconciliation no matter where we are. I thank you for peace over our finances. If you need peace over your finances, I want you to raise your hands. The Prince of Peace can give you peace when you look at that bill. They give you peace when you look at your business accounts. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, bring peace. I thank you for peace in families. I cry out for peace, come on church, in my family, in our families. I cry out for peace between husbands and wives and peace between fathers and mothers and sons and daughters. I cry out for peace, Lord, that you would bring peace, good conversations that bring reconciliation. Give us wisdom in everything that we say. As you remain there and God ministers to you, if you've come here this morning, like I said, and you have not done the first step of this, accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Prince of Peace, then I want to give you that opportunity right now. If you need to give your life to Christ, you've come in here with anxiety. You've come in here overwhelmed with anxiety. Can I tell you, the answer to anxiety is one name, and his name is Jesus Christ. When he comes into your life, he brings peace and order. Guilt and shame flee. That's why he came and died on the cross for you, so that you will have peace. Peace with you and God, peace with your Creator. So if that's you this morning with every head bowed and eye closed, if you need to accept that peace this morning and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to raise your hand high. Now, people are worshiping, so I'm going to need you to raise it quite high. Let's pray, church. Thank you. Anyone that needs to give their life to Christ this morning, do not leave this place without getting restored peace in your life. Or maybe you've walked away from God. Maybe you've left and walked away and you've kind of coming back to him. Then I want you to raise your hand too. We're going to pray over you and we're going to get one of the team to talk to you. Just a couple more minutes, church. This is the most important time of this message because this is the door to peace. So if that's you, we're just going to wait on God. Thank you, Lord. Just raise your hands. Nice and high so I can see it. Beautiful. Pray this after me, church. Pray this after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I give you my life this morning. I give you my heart. I repent of my sin. Wash me free from sin. Set me free. Give me your peace and the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Raise your hands, guys. Give me 30 seconds. Let's raise your hands. We want to be a church that are peacemakers. We want to be a church that goes out and looks for opportunity to bring the peace and the reconciliation of Christ. Just like Jesus, we're going to avoid the conversations that don't bring peace, and we're going to enter conversations that are going to be harder, but we are going to see the peace of God over our families. We're going to see reconciliation between fathers and sons. We're going to see reconciliation between daughters and fathers. You are going to see reconciliation in relationships at work as you bring the Prince of Peace into that situation. Thank you, Father. Right now, we thank you for a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Empower us to be a peacemaking church in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.